So you actually do that first. You don't say, hey, let's make a list, or hey, let's do a memory jogger. That's your first thing that you tell people, that that's our job?
Our first job, the first thing you tell the new distributor is, you have one obligation. Before I tell you what it is, let me tell you what our job is. And our job is to educate other people about our products and educate them about the fact that they can earn an extra paycheck with our company, and it can be a residual check. And once we educate our prospects with all the facts, it's really up to them to decide what they want to do. Because our job is not to sell them our products unless they want to buy them. Our job is not to convince our prospects. Our job is not to use high-pressure selling or convincing or manipulating or cold calling or coercing or neuro-linguistic programming and all that fancy stuff that you learn in sales school. And that's not our job. Our job is to simply give the people that we know an additional choice in their life. And they can make that choice, whatever they decide to do, that's fine. Our job is to simply educate them.
So do you ever give them, like, some examples of what we educate people? Key example is I was talking to you the other day about the all-you-can-eat sushi restaurant. You know, $20, it's not a buffet, it's all made to order. But I didn't sit there and make sure you went, you know? I just let you know about it, and when the times that you want sushi, you may go, you may not go. Something like that. Do you ever share some sort of story or example?
That's a perfect example. You know, one of the things that we do as network marketers is, and as humans, is we recommend and promote. You know, you're telling me about the all-you-can-eat sushi place downtown Houston. And since you told me a couple of weeks ago, Ann and I, every time we go downtown, we see if we're anywhere near that place so that we can go try it out. Now, we didn't go try it out the moment you told us about it. We didn't go out of our way the following week to try it out necessarily, but we are definitely going to go check it out because you mentioned it. And that's all that networking is simply recommending and promoting. And so you might want to take the time to sit down with a distributor, and if you didn't explain this to them during the opportunity meeting, if you didn't explain this to them before they joined, during the process of them joining, then you definitely want to sit down and explain to them that our business is nothing more than simply recommending and promoting what we like and not telling people about stuff we don't like. It's second nature. Kids do it since the age of five. You know, they recommend and promote TV cartoons on Saturday morning, Tickle Me Elmo dolls, Pokemon cards. They say, throw this temper tantrum and your dad will give you a cookie. That's about as, you know, as complicated as this business gets. And so, you want to, if you haven't explained that up to that point, absolutely sit down with them. The other part you might want to explain to them is you know, when we're educating people, give them a little bit of pain, maybe before you ask them and tell them what the obligation is. And what I mean by pain is that, I was just reading Money Magazine, and they said that 2.4%, no, actually it was 4.5% of the entire population in the United States earns $100,000 or more. And after taxes, you know, that's not a whole lot of money. And the rest of the country earns less than that. The median income was, I think, $26,000 a year for a family of three. And that's just horrible. So one of the exercises that you might want to give your new affiliate, your new distributor, is this. You might say, you know, what I want you to do is a homework assignment, is I want you to go out this week and go to monster.com and pick up the local newspaper, and I challenge you to find a way that you can earn $100,000 outside of our business per year in the next 3 years. And I bet you they're going to be very hard-pressed to come back and say, hey, I found a place where I can go do that, because it's going to be hard for them to do. So all of a sudden they're going to realize that the pain is big enough that they really don't have an alternative plan. And the other homework assignment you might want to give them is you want to explain to them what recurring income is. Basically, is, you know, if there's two types of incomes, and those of you listening know this, but here's how I explain it. I say, if you're like most people, you go to work, you get paid. If you drive a bus, you get paid for driving the bus. When you stop driving the bus, you stop getting paid. And the same holds true for people that earn six figures a year, like surgeons. If they're performing surgeries, they get paid. When they stop performing surgeries, they stop getting paid. It's called the time for money trap. And the other kind of income out there is called recurring income. It's when you do the work right one time, and you get paid again and again and again for the work that you did. Now, who has recurring income? Well, people like rock stars have recurring income. They write a hit album one time, and they get paid royalties for life. But even rock stars these days are getting less and less royalty income because everybody's trading their music over the internet. So you can tell your affiliate, you can say, look, when you sit down to go to sleep, you know, tonight, by the corner of your bed, ask yourself, am I earning recurring income? And how do you know? Well, while you're sleeping, are you earning a check? And for most people, it's going to be a resounding no. And tell your affiliate, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out there next week and I want you to take a look at any possible way that you can create $100,000 a year in recurring ongoing income after 3 years of work. And I promise you they're going to come back to you and they're not going to have an answer. And you can look at them squarely in the eye and say, look, with our program, you can do that if you follow the steps of success. I call it a cycle of success. And at that point, they're going to be looking forward to following or at least, you know, attempting to do what you're going to ask them to do. And that takes us back to this notification, which is what is that one obligation that we have for network marketers? And here's what I would tell Keith. I would say, you know, here's what you're not obligated to do. You're not obligated to make a lot of retail sales. If you do, that's great. But if you don't, it's not mandatory. And you're not obligated to buy a whole lot of products and services. Again, if you do that, that's great, but it's not mandatory. And you're not obligated to go to your office and convince people to join your network marketing business. You're not obligated to hand out catalogs at funerals. You're not obligated to even return my phone call. All those things are optional. But here's what you are obligated to do. And Keith is probably sitting there going, wow, Art just mentioned all this stuff that I was afraid of. And he said, I'm not obligated to do that. So he kind of, you know, there's a burden off his shoulders. He feels a weight has been lifted, and he's kind of saying, okay, I can breathe again. I feel better. And I tell him this. I say, here's your obligation. Your obligation is to simply notify your friends and your relatives and your neighbors and your coworkers that you've decided to start a part-time business and why. Simply to notify your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, and your coworkers that you've decided to start a part-time networking business and why. And that's your only obligation. So you don't have to sell your friends on your products or services. You don't have to sponsor your neighbors into your network marketing business. You don't have to invite your coworkers to an opportunity meeting. You don't have to explain your business to your relatives unless they ask for more information. And all of a sudden, Keith might be sitting there going, wow, I don't have to learn fancy presentations or constantly show the program to people that are unwilling to listen. I don't have to chase them down. I don't have to lose my friends. This is a pretty good deal. And now here's the part that I think a lot of times is overlooked when you're sitting down with a new distributor, is you have to paint a picture for them as to why notification is so important. So here's kind of what notification would look like. Is a notification, you basically are going to send a postcard or a letter or an email, and you might say something like this. You might say, you know, hey, Keith, this is Art. You know what? I know I haven't talked to you in a while, but I just wanted to send you this quick note and let you know that I've been asking for a raise at my job for the last 3 years. And every time I ask for a raise, I feel like my boss just laughs at me. I mean, it's terrible. And I never got the raise. And so I got this book, How to Get Rich Without Winning the Lottery. I read it, and it made a lot of sense, you know. And in there, they recommended that I start a part-time business, so I decided to do that. Well, I just wanted to let you know, I hope the dog and the cat and the kids are fine, and sign your name. And in the PS, you might say something like, and by the way, if you know anybody that could use an extra weekly paycheck working from home, and I have a couple extra copies of that book, I'd be happy to loan them one. And that's a simple letter of notification. Now, it doesn't have to be in those exact words. What I recommend is that the notification postcard or email or letter, that you write it in your own words. Don't all of a sudden think that you have to be a copywriter or a salesperson. Write it as if you are writing a note to a friend. And here's what will happen. So all of a sudden, you know, your distributor might make a list of 50 or 100 people they know. They realize that they're not going to have to harass these people. They're simply going to have to notify them. So they sent out, for example, 100 postcards. And here's what will happen. Somebody's going to get the postcard. They're going to look at it. They're going to be reading their mail over the trash can the way most people do. They're going to be throwing away all the junk mail. They're going to look at the postcard, and they're going to go, hey, honey, look, I got a postcard from your worthless cousin. And they're going to throw it in the mail. Well, no big deal, right? That's not a problem. And some people are going to totally miss the postcard. They're not going to see it. Some people are going to read it and say, hey, that's nice. And some people are going to read it, and they're going to call your affiliate or your distributor, and they're going to say, hey, you know what? Congratulations on taking the step to start a part-time business from home. I hear that's a up-and-coming trend. And, you know, it's not for me. I'm not interested in the book or anything like that, but congratulations. Now, do you think your distributors could handle a few calls like that?
I think it's pretty easy for them because they can do it, A. They feel comfortable. But I think you're going to get a lot of qualified leads that way. The reason I'm thinking is you watch late night television infomercials. You have, make money from home, franchise business, vending machines, payphones, cell phones, you name it, you can sell it. Real estate, no money down, buy a house for $10, sell it for $2 million. But if a friend told me that, he knows of a way, I could probably realistically, trust him because, he's not a stranger on the TV. So I think it's a good way to get some good leads.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I mean, ask yourself this. How many times have you seen an infomercial on TV promising you the world or promising you an extra paycheck, and all these people are giving testimonials? And you know what? Maybe some of those programs are actually very good, but you didn't pick up the phone to call them because you didn't know them. But it's easier to call your friend and ask them. Like while you're having coffee or playing tennis or going out to the bar or whatever, wherever you normally socialize with them, you can bring it up with them. Say, hey, how's that business going? And all of a sudden, they're going to be approaching you. And what happens is that out of maybe 100 postcards that you send out, you might have 3 or 4 people that'll say, I want a copy of that book. Send it to me. Or I have a friend that would like a copy of that book. And all of a sudden, here's what happens. Instead of your distributor sitting there having to call 100 people in a row to find those 3 or 4 that are actually looking for an extra way to get an extra paycheck, they're going to have those 3 or 4 people contact them.
So we actually went from having 3 names on the list at your first example. We have like 3 or 4 names on the list, but now we have 3 or 4 leads. Is that right?
3 or 4 leads. And the names list is going to get very big because your distributor is going to sit there and they're going to make a list of 30, 40, 50, 100 people because they realize all they need to do is notify them. So they have none of those issues that I mentioned earlier going on in their mind about all the rejection that's going to happen. There's no rejection involved here. People aren't going to call them up and say, hey, you're stupid for starting a home-based business. That never happens. But what happens is they were going to get 3 or 4 calls from people saying, I'm interested. Now imagine the psychological difference of a distributor that instead of having to call 20 people on their list to find the first person that's interested, hearing 20 no's, hearing 20 people saying, hey, you're bugging me, getting to 3 or 4 people that immediately say, hey, I'm interested. That's a huge advantage for your distributor because at first they have to build their confidence. They're going to borrow confidence from you, and they're going to have to build their own confidence because their anxiety level is through the roof, their knowledge level is down. Our job over time as leaders is to reverse that, to bring their knowledge level up, their confidence up, and their anxiety level down. And through notification, that's one great first step to have that happen. So here's, so slowly you're starting to shift your distributor to thinking like a leader. Hey, I only need to notify. The reason I need to notify is because at any point in time, not everybody's looking for a home-based business. Here in Houston, we have the example of Enron. Many people are familiar with just the fiasco that happened with that company. And in my neighborhood, there were a number of people that worked for Enron. And before the Enron happened, before they got Enroned, so to speak, very few of them were interested in an extra paycheck because they were working at Enron. That was not only their immediate income, but Enron promised them to pay them while they were in their retirement. So why look for an extra paycheck for most of those people? But the moment they got Enroned, things changed for them. Now, they weren't, they realized that they needed an extra income no matter what. They weren't in a position to go get a part-time business right then because they had to find another job, relocate their families, move them across the country, go from Houston to Ohio or something like that. But once they got that second job, I guarantee you that they were in a much better place to thinking, maybe I should have a secondary income coming into my home should I get Enroned again so that I have at least a secondary income so I can hang around for 4 or 5 weeks, find a job without relocating my kids to a different school. So at any point in time when you're talking to your friends or relatives or neighbors, some of them are interested in an extra paycheck, some of them aren't. And through notification, you're only going to hear from the ones that are. And that's a huge time saver and a huge confidence builder for your distributor. But here's the best way to get, to finish up this training is that if you left it at what I just shared with you, your distributor is probably going to make a pretty decent sized list to notify. And that's great. But what I recommend is that you share with them a story to show them what would happen if they didn't notify their warm market. And there's a couple of stories you can share. I'll share with you a couple right now. And you don't even have to take notes on these. You're going to be able to share these right after you hear them because they're really easy to remember. But here's one thing you might assume. And say, for example, that you've been working your network marketing business for 6 months or 12 months. And you're talking to your new distributor and you say something like this. Look, say imagine a year from now you've been working this business for 12 months. And you've used your extra paycheck from this company to pay off your mortgages, or maybe you've, you know, kept your job, hopefully, and you use that to pay your bills, and you've just got this extra money coming in every week or every month, depending on how the compensation plan pays. And so you save these extra checks, and after 6 months, these checks add up to enough money to allow you to take that dream vacation to Tahiti that you've always wanted to go on. So you say, hey, I've got the money now. This is really great. So you book a flight, and it might be in the middle of winter. You go outside, and there's snow on the ground if you're up north or in parts of the world where there's snow, and as your neighbor's scraping off the ice off their windshield, you know, you're sitting there in your Bermuda shorts and your Bermuda shirt. You get in your car, and they're looking at you in absolute disbelief. They're like, what the heck is going on? And you look over, and, hey, that's just one neighbor, but you have a lot of neighbors in your neighborhood, and you drive to the airport. You get into this jumbo jet 747 Air Tahiti Airlines. You sit down. They bring you their drink, and you're thinking to yourself, wow, this is great. You know, if I keep building my business the way that it's growing, I can take one of these vacations maybe twice a year, and then maybe four times a year, and that's just going to be incredible. And then you get to Tahiti, and the plane lands. You get out of the plane, and there's somebody there with one of those signs, and it has your name on it, and you go, oh, yeah, this is great. And they take you off to this resort, and there's this glamorous beach there. They throw you in a hammock. You're sitting in the hammock. To your right, there's some, you know, people grilling barbecue teriyaki chicken, and they bring you your favorite tropical beverage. And as you're sitting there drinking this tropical beverage, you're thinking, wow, it doesn't get any better than this. This is incredible. And you look over towards the sunset, and you're looking down at the beach, and you see this little dot. And you realize, hey, wait a minute, it's not a dot. It's kind of growing. It's getting bigger. And you realize that it's not a dot. It's a human being walking towards you. And as you look at them closely, you realize they're dragging this raggedy, beat-up old blanket. And for whatever reason, they come right next to your hammock, into your personal space. They lay out this blanket. They sit down, and you look down at them in disbelief, and then you get even more surprised because you realize that it's one of your next-door neighbors from back home. And you look at him and you say, wow, I can't believe it's you. Well, you know, what are you doing here thousands of miles away? And they look at you and they ask you the same thing. And you say, well, I'm here enjoying a nice holiday. But really, you know, what are you doing here? And your next door neighbor kind of looks up at you. And, well, they've got this kind of weird looking look on their face. Their eyebrows wrinkle and they scrunch up their face and they say, well, you know what? I lead a pretty miserable life. I have to keep three jobs just to pay the rent for my family. I'm in debt up to my ears. My car loan is overdue, and there's really no chance I'm going to, you know, get any advancements in my job. I've been asking for a raise for 3 years, and I don't have a penny to my name, and I'm pretty much doomed. So here's what I figure I'd do. I might as well take a three-day vacation just once in my miserable life so that I have a single pleasant memory before I'm going to die. And in order to get here, here's what I had to do. I took out another loan. I maxed out all my credit cards. I stole the money out of my kids' college savings account. And I even broke into their piggy bank so that I could scrape enough money to get a ticket to get here. And then your next-door neighbor looks up at you in your hammock and he says, what about you? What are you doing here? And you see, that's when the moment of truth comes in. Because you're going to have to look down at your neighbor and you're going to say, you know what? I got started in my own part-time networking business about 6 months ago. And it's really awesome. I mean, I get paid for just letting other people know about it. So I saved up the last few bonus checks that I had, and here I am. As a matter of fact, this part-time business is so good that I'm thinking about taking another week-long vacation here in about 3 months. It's so awesome that I forgot to tell you about it, didn't I? And you see, your neighbor is going to be pretty upset. He might even get up, go down to that teriyaki chicken grill, grab a machete, raise his arm, and come back and start chopping down your hammock. Who knows what else might happen? And the reality is this, is that had you notified your neighbor, simply sending him a postcard, you could tell your neighbor, look, buddy, remember when I sent you that postcard and you threw it in the trash or whatever you did with it? I gave you a chance to ask me about my business, but you decided not to, and you're off the hook. They cannot blame you for not telling them about the business.